Hey everybody, I'm Michael Munsterman and you're on Money Moves. Today we're going to be talking about the power of silence, part two.
Grind, that's all I know. Find the time to quit, oh no. No matter good or bad, still I go. I never crack under pressure, I can't be broke. Sun up to the sun down, map it out, now run it down. Mayweather, I never lose. I be making these money moves. Sun up to the sun down, map it out, now run it down. Mayweather, I never lose. I be making these money moves.
So, everyone, we're talking about silence. We're talking about our ability to just create space in our life. And last, in part one, we talked about internal and external. So that's quieting your mind internally so you can listen to the voice and you can actually exercise the process of thinking. And unfortunately, just the way things are, people have so many different inputs coming into their lives visually, from an audio standpoint, that the practice of thinking just isn't done enough. And I think that this is a simple thing that most people can do to 2 or 3x their lives just instantly, is to take time and think about yesterday, think about today, and associate those to your plan, your goals, your strategies for your life. So that's kind of that internal. And then external, again, remember that's silence for gain. And so falling quiet, letting that other person speak up when kind of on cue, creating an uncomfortable silence that allows for the people around you to react the way that you want. And also just to be quiet and see what their body's telling you that their mouths might not be, and to practice that regularly. So next we're going to be talking about like relational silence. And then finally, expectational silence, which is just, that's kind of a term that I've coined, but I'll go into that a little bit more. So I think with external, which we talked about in part one, and relational, you're going to see a lot of similarities, except inside of external silence, what we're looking for is a response for gain. Now, in relational, we're looking for opportunity to deposit into the people around us, deposit into our relationships, to build craziest, copious amounts of value in those around us. And that's why relational needs its own category. It can't just be external silence. And so when we're talking about relational, I'm talking about your wife, your children, I'm talking about your family, that inner circle, the people who you pull into your tight peer group, the ones that you truly, genuinely want to build long, long lasting relationships with. And I think so often inside of silence, there's so much opportunity for people, especially in relationships. And so let's go to the big key relationships that I think most people botch. And that is our significant other, our spouse. Whenever we're newlyweds, especially. So I've been married 18 years, going on 19 now. And one of the things that I've discovered is the better I get at listening to my wife and genuinely caring about what she's talking about, what's going on in her world, what she has that she wants to say to me, the better I am at our relationship. Because like my ability to listen to what she says and genuinely connect with my heart is in direct correlation to her trusting to share with me more. And this is tough because you've got two types of people, the ones that just want to control and run and talk about what they want to talk about, and then the kind of people who fall silent inside of their relationships. And it's like just this wall. They come in like a zombie. They eat their dinner. They go sit in front of the TV. There's very little communication about their day, or very, very little ask on, hey, how was your day? And just that ability to fall silent and listen. And so the other thing that I think happens often, especially in newer relationships, like that first 5-year window, is that inside of a fight, this is the power of silence is so real and raw. So what am I talking about? What I'm talking about is whenever someone's absolutely going off and your buttons are getting triggered, like my wife, she always knew exactly what she could say that would really get my goat. And we've all been there, and we all have intentionally said things to get our spouses or significant others, you know, like to hit those hot buttons. And in anticipation of that person really just going ballistic. But it's impossible to argue with silence. And so it's critical here because I think a couple things happen that you need to realize when you're talking about being silent. When you're being silent, you seem concerned. You seem sincere. And if you're truly being silent and you're not just sitting there in your head stewing, it also gives you the space to really listen to the point that they're trying to make and see their perspective from where they're coming to you from. And so it's just from a relationship standpoint, when you're doing that, it gives you amazing leverage in the conversation. Because then when you do speak, it means something. And you've had time to separate your thoughts from your emotions. You've given them time to vent and get off their chest what they've got that they want to talk about. And then when you fall back to, here is what I want to say and why it's important to me. It's a crazy calming of the waters that typically happens. As long as your thought out response isn't, I'm going to hit the absolute nuke button. Like flip up the red cover, pull the switch and blow the walls off of this entire conversation. And everybody knows what those are, but that's not the point. The point is to try to make communication easier between the two of you. And the same thing's true with your children or with your coworkers or with your friends. Like whenever, like your children, I love this conversation because so many people, I completely disagree with 99% of the people that I hear talk about, you know, their kids. I don't hear something that we've said all along as we've raised our two daughters is we want our daughters to be our best friends. It's just like, well, you can't be a parent and your kids be your friends as well. Totally disagree with that because our bond is so tight with our daughters that they don't feel like they're breaking the rules. They feel like they're betraying us. And the way that we've done that is because we talk to our children like they're humans, not like they're kids. When we have a conversation with my 17-year-old daughter, I ask a question, my wife will ask a question, and we'll both fall silent, and she'll talk for 15 minutes. And lots of times in that conversation, I've thought, man, I can think of 100 other things I'd rather talk about right now or go do, but I fall back to, this is the most important thing to her right now. And so stay silent and keep listening because you're getting so much insight into her and what's happening in her little circle or what's happening to her and her school, where her mind is and what direction she's heading. And it gives you clues as to how you can speak to this. And this happens early. A 2-year-old has just as much to say as a 17-year-old. You just have to give them the opportunity. You create intelligent conversations with these small people. It makes them more rounded. It makes them more prepared for society. It makes them more intelligent. Everything about it is beneficial. And you, through your actions, teach them the power of silence. So just something to think about from a family side. Beyond that, the same principles work. There are two keys. One, listen. And two, like there's this saying about faking sincerity. Don't fake sincerity. Truly be sincere. Allow these conversations to connect to your heart. And then finally, you know, because this, like, money moves, right? It's Money Moves with Michael Munsterman. It's not supposed to just be about, like, family's definitely a key part of making money, and we'll get into that in some future episodes. But on the front side of it, this is way more touchy-feely than I'm normally going to be. And so that's why I saved the last one for last, and that's expectational silence. And this is not something you've heard before. Again, this is something that I use in my own role. It's not something I pulled from a book. It's something that I believe that is an indirect tie. And that is your expectations and your patience are silence's close cousins. And here's what I mean by that. If patience and silence are cousins, that means that sometimes in our world, when we have expectations and we have these things that we want to create, we just have to allow time to do time's thing. I'm going to pause there. Just I want you to think about that. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes when we're expecting something to happen, we have to fall silent on our actions because there are some things that are just beyond our control. And time is the fix. Time is the cure. And our ability to fall silent and be patient is the silence. Now, this is the hardest one for me and one that I've had to work on the most, which is why I think it's relevant to bring up in this conversation. expectationally, when I set a goal and I said, hey, I want this thing, I run at it. I run at it with absolutely everything I have. I like when we decided to do the podcast, I'm like, okay, hey, what's the very best camera we can buy? What's the best sound equipment we can get? I want the best lights. We're like, right now we're having a studio built out. Like all of these things are happening because whenever I decide I'm going to go at something, I don't half-ass it. I go at it. But sometimes there are things that I don't have any control over. So for example, in my dealership, whenever we grew the dealership until we were busting at the seams. And again, it's only been in business for a couple years, but like I ran out of space to park cars. I was having to rent space from my neighbor to park some of my units that were overflow units as we were growing. More cars meant more sales, meant more staff, meant bigger growth, bigger volume, bigger income, bigger profit. Everything was growing except my space. And there was a perfect adjoining property behind me that I had to wait for. I knew that, like I gathered enough information about it to know that it was going to become available as soon as they lost their renter. And I knew at some point in the renter had told me that at some point in the next 12 months, I'm going to move out. But there was no way that I could expedite that process. The buyers weren't interested in selling. They were getting too much rent, or the sellers weren't interested in selling. They were getting too much rent. And the renter wasn't interested in moving because the space was too cheap for his need. So all of these things were working against me. And the only thing I could do was fall silent and be patient. Lay in wait like a lion in the grass on the edge of the field, watching for the right opportunity to pounce. But patience was the silence. I could have went nuts and I could have overpaid, or I could have tried to influence the renter. There are lots of things that I could have done, but all of them would have cost me money or potentially blew up the opportunity that I knew someday would come if I would just lay in wait and I would just be patient, fall silent to that situation. And soon enough, the renter moved out. And as soon as the renter moved out, the buyers got crazy aggressive and came down $50,000 or $60,000 from their original asking price because they were ready to unload it, like I knew they would be. And so we ended up buying that place and I went to the city. Again, another situation. I went to the city. I said, hey, here's what I want to do with this space. I want to make it a service center associated with my dealership. And they said, well, you can't do that because it's been vacant for 12 months. And so it's lost its grandfather status. It can't be used for that use. And again, I knew that I could get aggressive and be loud and go nuts, or I could fall silent, back up, regroup my thoughts, my position, my understanding of their code and the laws, and then reapproach. And so that's what I did. Finding out that there was a loophole and an opportunity that if this, then that, if I could get the city to agree to this, then I could operate under specific terms and accomplish my end goal. And so that's the route that I took. And since then, this has been 4 or 5 months now in the making, I've been waiting for a meeting that's going to happen at the first part of next week, but I had to expectationally fall silent. I had to take the time to evaluate my position inside of this game. I'm the chess piece on the board, and I need to think about my opponent's moves, and I don't do that by bulling ahead. There's no value with the bull in a china shop, and everybody says that so proud. You're like a bull in a china shop. It doesn't do you any good. If you truly want to excel and get ahead, sometimes you've got to get strategic with this business. You're not playing checkers, you're playing chess. You'll hear me say that a lot because I really think that when you're positioning, and this is what, whether you're in conversation for business, whether you're in conversation personally, whether you're in conversation expectationally, regardless of where you are, your ability to fall back, recognize the true position of every piece on the board, and recognize and anticipate the next 2 or 3 moves forward gives you an opportunity to excel quicker than anybody around you. And people watch you make moves and scratch their head and think, how does he or she figure all of this out? It's because you fall silent. One of the things that, as I've listened to podcasts, I have these tracks of words that I seem to use a lot. And one of the tracks that I love, I just say this all the time, I'm like, I use these simple techniques that most people don't use or don't know to use or have never heard or never thought about. And I end up calling them some kind of a superpower. But if out of absolutely everything that we've talked about so far in the podcast or in any of the content that I've dropped, being able to fall silent, recognize your position, think two or three moves ahead, and then execute with precision is the most powerful thing that's the most powerful thing that you can give yourself as a tool to make those money moves that you're wanting to make. So I would just encourage everybody to evaluate those four areas, because it really is an opportunity for you to completely change the game of your life. People will literally 6 weeks from now walk up to you and say, you seem like a different person. And that is every single day, get up and evaluate. In the morning, before anything starts to disrupt you, before anything's happening, before the kids are up, before your spouse is up, what was my yesterday like? What's my today going to be like? And how does that fit inside of my world? Second, meditate. Pray. Take time to just practice mindfulness. Mindfulness is this. It's controlling the noise in your head so that you can hear the voice for what's going on in your world. And then third, relationally, you have to be willing to sacrifice the win sometimes, to fall quiet and listen to the people that you love or that you care about, and just accept what's happening around you for what it is. Be that calm in the storm, that blanket over the sea that just settles the waters. Your life will be so much better, and you'll find that when you have more peace in your private life, you have more power in your business life. And then finally, expectationally, you've got to learn just to fall like still sometimes. Back up, reevaluate a situation, and don't get noisy. Don't head into the China shop like a bull and hope that on the other side you can puff your chest out and say, "Ah, look what I did." Sometimes that's appropriate, but more often than not, if you'll play chess instead of checkers, you'll win at this game. Guys, I'm Michael Munsterman. This is Money Moves. I just want to help you guys make the best moves that you possibly can. It's not about getting rich. It's about making the moves that make your life better and more fruitful so that you can share your gifts with the world. Check us out. We're on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. It's at Michael Munsterman. Facebook's the same way, M4Nation, or just go to our website. It's got links to absolutely everything, the podcast, the book release. We're launching some new programs that are going to be super beneficial for you if you're thinking, hey, I want to go into business for myself, or if you're already in business, you feel like I've hit a ceiling. So check it out. It's www.michaelmunsterman.com. We'll catch you next time on Money Moves. Savvy. I'll be making these money moves.